Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Torn Apart by Kay Webster and Nikki Ash. Narrated by Tim Page and Kelsey Navarro. Labels are for filing, labels are for clothing, labels are not for people. Martina Navratilova. 1. Ashton. I can't believe you're making me play this. Her cackle makes me smirk, even if she's forcing me to play the game with the worst graphics in history. Minecraft is the babysitter for grade school kids who are all jacked up on Mountain Dew when mommies and daddies around the world need a break. It's not for people like us, real gamers. I'm going to build a cute pen here to house my sheep, she tells me. If you're a good boy, I'll make you one too. I don't want sheep. Pigs? I could lock you in my pen. You saying I'm a pig? We tear our attention from the train wreck graphics to look at each other. Mia's dark, sculpted eyebrow is popped up, trying and failing to give me hella attitude. She's anything but a pig. Guys practically trip all over their damn feet when she's around. Straight guys. I'm a little fucking crooked. Did you see the way you annihilated that pizza, Mimi? She groans, jerking her dark brown eyes back to the screen. Pineapple is my weakness. Oink, oink, I tease. A loud, unladylike snort escapes her, sending us both into a fit of laughter. For the fun of it, I start wrecking her dumbass pig pen because it's in the spot where I'm going to build a pool. She screeches, all kinds of pissed at me, and starts kicking me. What the fuck? I groan, dodging her small but deadly socked feet. Keep those weapons on your side of the couch, dickhead. You owe me a new pen. Stay here with me tonight, and I'll let you build 10 pens. She grows silent, darting her eyes over to me. I already promised Sasha I'd go. I'm sure there are 15 other girls just waiting to do Sasha's bidding. You don't even like them, I grumble. I do too, she argues. Sasha is in my humanities class. I know you think she's a snob, but I like her. She's been inviting me to a lot of stuff lately. She's just trying to be nice. We both know that's not true. Sasha is the president for Delta Delta Delta, a gorgeous senior with a trust fund. The girl's family runs in the same circles as mine. Where our dads may associate, Sasha and I do not. I'm not cool enough for her, which means Mia's not either. But pledges are pledges, I guess, and Sasha is on a hunt for them. We're too normal, Mia and me. Or unrefined, maybe even a bit rebellious. We're certainly not the types who fit perfectly into a mold. It's what brought Mia and me together in the first place this past summer. She's my best friend, albeit by accident, but still my best friend. You're mad, Mia says, frowning. Why are you mad?
I'm not mad.
I'm so mad. Mad that she can't let this whole I want to fit in bullshit go. Of course, she'll never admit that's why she's doing it. Her excuse is that she wants to make friends. She has a friend. Me. The best one. The only one. I'm not a possessive bestie or anything. You're pouting, she says, her lips quirking up on one side. For someone who claims to never pout, you sure do it a lot.
I do not.
Ask your dad. He'll agree with me.
That's unfair. My dad loves you more than me. We're not asking him.
Because it's true, she sings, and then laughs. Seriously, it's just a club. And if you weren't such an antisocial asshole, you could go with us. Sasha likes you.
Sasha tolerates me because my dad is the dean.
Humph. Come on, she chirps. Enough pouting. Let's go next door and you can watch me get ready. Help me pick out something sexy. I might meet someone hot.
At this, I laugh. You're asking me for outfit ideas? She skims over my worn Nirvana shirt and holy jeans. My face is sporting scruff because I can't be bothered to shave unless Dad rides my ass about it, and my mop of messy brown hair. Yeah, my style is a little too fucking grungy to be giving advice to others.
Gay men know style, she tells me, grinning as she stands.
That's some stereotypical shit right there. Sit your ass back down. I'm about to build that pig pen back up for you and stick you in it.
Dick.
Vagina. We both laugh.
Just come next door with me, she pleads. I'll let you eat gummy bears.
Wicked woman taunting me with my favorite candy. I can't. Duty calls.
You're going to go whack off to gay porn?
You're such a bitch, I say with a laugh. No, asshole, I'm meeting some brainless hockey player. Needs answers for a test. Bad grades in a class, and if he doesn't get them up, they won't let him play.
Why is he coming to you and not the tutoring center?
She asks, her eyes narrowed in question.
You're not exactly the star student of Atlantic Point.
I'm smart, I argue.
Undeniably so, she grins. But you skim by on your classes because you can. Not exactly tutor material.
My smile twists up into a devious one. It's answers, not tutoring.
Again? She asks in exasperation. Your dad will kill you if he ever finds out.
He won't, I shrug. Besides, someone's got to pay for your sugar habit around here. A tap on the door has me hopping off my sofa and sauntering over to it. Mia grumbles from nearby as she slides on her shoes. Ignoring her, I open the door. Fuck. I hate athletes with a goddamn passion. That's something I'll psychoanalyze one day, but for now I chalk it up to the fact most are ridiculously hot but total assholes. This dude's no different. He got my name through the grapevine. Being the dean's son and pretty proficient with computers, I can get access to just about anything at this university I want to. He texted his coded request, and I told him the price. $100, and the test answers are his. Hey, he grunts out, not looking up from his phone. He might be a dick, but I can appreciate when someone is fucking hot. This guy with raven black hair, styled in one of those obnoxious, just-fucked ways, stands at least a couple inches above my 6-foot frame. But where I'm lean with muscled tone that comes from good genes and swimming, he's built from sheer hard work and frequent lifting. His shoulders are broad and sculpted, his fitted olive-covered Henley showcasing each curve of his form nicely. I sweep my gaze along his arms to his hand that grips his phone. Strong. Veiny. Fuck. Maybe I do need to watch some gay porn. No sports shit either. Just regular guys with regular hands jacking each other off. I bet his hand is strong, and those veins would pop with each move of his fist around my... You Ashton? He grits out, a sneer on his perfectly carved face. Yep. Braden. I shrug. Cool. Got my money? His dark eyes drift past me into my apartment. I've got a nice place. So what? It's all paid for by my generous daddy anyway. Insert huge fucking eye roll. You should give me a discount. His deep brown, almost black eyes lock on mine. You don't seem to be hurting for money. And you must be pretty fucking dumb to jeopardize your hockey career over buying test answers from the dean's son, but here we are. I don't back down when he steps forward, hostility rolling off him in waves. Give me the money or leave. No sweat off my back. Mia creeps up behind me. I know she's there because Braden's gaze turns molten, greedily drinking in my beautiful friend. I'm used to it by now. Mia downplays her looks with her silly braids, sexy librarian glasses, and gamer shirts. But my girl cleans up well. I know for a fact when she goes out later, she'll be the hottest chick at that club. Fuckers like Braden will buy her drinks and try to woo her into their beds. Unlucky for them, my girl is smart. Guys like Braden don't stand a chance.
Hi, Mia greets, injecting friendliness into her tone. I'm Mia.
Braden.
You know there's a legitimate way to passing, she sasses. It's a novel idea.
Oh, yeah?
Braden says, smirking.
What's that?
It's called studying.
He chuckles. Right, so you got my shit or what, bro?
His hard eyes land back on mine.
I have places to be.
Like starring in my fucking fantasies.
I'm not your bro, dude.
I turn on my heel, pushing past Mia and saunter over to my bag. After yanking out the answers, I make my way back over to them. Braden has stepped over the threshold of my door and is peering down at her, wearing one of those confident grins guys like him so easily slap on when they're making a move on a chick. Mia lifts her chin and gives him her nasty-ass attitude I love so much. Sorry, can't.
I didn't even ask yet, Braden says,
his lips curling into a wolfish grin. I try not to think about that same ravenous stare seconds before those lips wrap around my dick. The answer is no.
But you want to say yes, Braden tells her,
undeterred.
They always eventually say yes.
In English, that translates to something really fucking rapey, man, I tell him, slapping the answer key against his ridiculously hard chest. His features darken. Rapey? Fuck you, bro. I'm not your bro. He lifts his chin just so he can look down his nose at me. All that arrogance dripping off him is suffocating. I can be a bit of a masochist, though, because I willingly step closer just so I can have a little sniff of the way he smells. Asshole or not, he calls to the baser parts of me. I was flirting, Brayden explains. That's what people like me do. Not sure what it is people like you do. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Gay people can't flirt too? I challenge, anger surging through me at his gall. His dark lashes blink fast at my words. What? No, man, I'm not a homophobe. I mean, forget it. He digs out a $100 bill and tosses it at me. It flutters to the ground, and I make no move to pick it up. No, dude, please explain. My girl Mia here would love to know as well. At least my bestie and I stand side by side as a solid force against this jock. A loser. Brayden curls his lip up in disdain. A loser in desperate need of a haircut who lives off daddy's money and sells test keys in order to stay relevant to his peers. Fuck this guy. I stalk up to him until our chests bump. Mia wisely stays back, but I feel the tension rippling from her. We're not confrontational people, she and I. There's just something about this guy that amps me up. You gonna hit me, bro? He laughs. I run my tongue across my bottom lip, loving how uncomfortable it makes him. He tenses, but the stubborn ass refuses to step back. Do you want me to hit you? I drop my voice a few octaves, letting the words roll through the air like tires on gravel. I'm more of a lover than a fighter, though. His dark eyes flash with fury, and then the fucker storms away, sucking the air from my lungs with him. Don't come back, I call out. I've met my asshole quota for the year. With his test key clutched in one hand as he stalks away, he raises his muscular arm to flip me off. Once he's gone, I step back into my apartment. Sorry, I tell Mia. He pissed me off. She pats my chest and stands on her toes to press a kiss to my cheek. That was completely warranted. If you weren't going to put him in his place, I absolutely was. All 120 pounds of you? I tease. I'm feisty, she sasses, cocking that hip of hers out to the side. I'm annoyed some asshole is going to be all up on her tonight at the club. One day she'll like one of those said assholes, and then he'll have to start hanging out with us. Can't say I'm looking forward to that day. Bye, Mimi. Don't get roofied by dude bro Brayden. She laughs all the way to her apartment next door. I've barely got my door closed when my phone starts ringing. Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again is blasting over and over, which only means Dad needs to have a word, and it's urgent. Ignoring the incessant calling of my overbearing father, I walk into the kitchen and grab a Cherry Coke. After popping the tab, I make my way back over to the sofa. I kill the stupid game, hoping Mia's house doesn't save so we won't be forced to play again, and finally answer Dad. Yo, I grunt out and sip my sweet soda. Annoyed silence screams through the line. 1, 2, 3. Ashton Elliot Carter. Yeah, Dad? He sighs heavily, already exhausted over our inevitable argument. Tonight, though, he bypasses the usual lecture and cuts to the chase. You'll have a new roommate soon. I bark out a laugh. What? Don't start, he grits out. This is important. With it being well into the semester, the housing is limited and— No, I snap, cutting him off. I don't like people. Oh, please, I'm not in the mood for this today. Besides, you don't get a say in this. The new coach is starting and I don't have a place for him to stay. Wait a minute. I know it's not ideal. Ideal? Dad, I don't want to share a space with a freaking old-ass coach. I don't even like sports. You like swimming, he counters. Not the same thing, I grumble. This is lame. Maybe it is lame, and I agree. I don't want to subject him to this, but it's my only option. This being me. All my gayness that might be catching. When? I'll let you know. I use that spare room for an office, I lie. This is going to make studying harder. Ashton, we both know you don't study. I smirk. I hope he's okay with me walking around in my boxers. Is he hot? Does he like guys? Just clean out the spare room and stop being a brat. He hangs up on me. I laugh, knowing I hit a nerve. Dad hates when I throw it in his face that I'm gay. Before I came out to my family and friends at age 15, Dad had high hopes of me marrying some sweet rich girl. I sure ruined that dream he had for his only son. I shoot out a text to Mia. Me. Dad just dropped a bomb on me. Mia. Need me to cancel tonight and hang out? It'd be easy to play the needy best friend card. Unfortunately, I love Mia, and I'm not some possessive friend who will isolate her from her friends, even if they are prissy sorority princesses, just to keep her for myself. Me. Nah, just bring me chocolate donuts for breakfast. Mia. How do you not weigh 500 pounds? Me. Cardio. Mia. You do not do cardio. Me. Sure I do. Naked cardio. It's a thing. Mia. Getting ready now. Go do your naked cardio alone. See you in the morning. She sends some eye roll emojis, but then ends it with a black heart. I send her back some eggplant emojis and one of two guys kissing. If only I were really getting some naked cardio in, that'd be great. But no, while Mia is off grinding on jocks with big dicks and tiny IQs, I'll be cleaning out my barely used office to please my father. I can't wait to get the fuck out of college. At least then I won't be squirming under Dad's thumb 24/7.
2. Mia. Wow, Mia, don't you clean up well, Sasha says, her nasally voice hitting my ears like nails to a chalkboard. Cliche, I know. But then again, so is Sasha. Dressed in her black BCBG halter neck cutout dress and Saint Laurent heels, with her Tory Burch clutch, she screams affluence and class and unoriginality. And I cringe at the fact that I even know who she's wearing. Or that my outfit, a black Dolce & Gabbana mini dress and Louboutin red sole pumps, costs triple what hers does. Sasha might come from a wealthy family, but in comparison to my movie star mother and award-winning surgeon father, her family are peasants, whereas my family is Hollywood royalty. And again, the thought makes me internally recoil. Thanks, I say, plastering on a fake smile while wishing I were cuddled up with Ashton in his apartment playing video games, instead of at The Lodge, an upscale nightclub in Hawks Landing, trying to fit in. Something I've been trying and failing to do my entire life. I'm Matt in a glossy world, much to my mother's horror. I did the honor of ordering for everyone, Sasha announces, handing out pretentious-looking drinks to everyone in our party. Blackberry gin and tonic, she says. Only the best for my girls. Melina, Tori, and Jade, Sasha's resident ass-kickers, beam in delight, while I do my best not to roll my eyes. She ordered us drinks. She didn't cure world hunger. And really, gin and tonic? Can she be any more cliche? I'm miserable already, just like Ashton predicted. Sometimes I really hate how well he knows me. It's hard to hide from yourself when someone can always find you. To being us, Sasha yells over the music, raising her glass. The cliche Sasha moments are plentiful tonight. To being us, the other girls echo, raising their glasses and then taking dainty sips of their drinks. It takes all of my restraint not to throw back my entire drink, especially when it feels like the only way I'll ever make it through tonight is by being drunk. The entire reason why I moved to Hawks Landing was to get away from women like the ones I'm with. Yet here I am, making friends with them and planning to join the sorority they belong to. Why? Because it doesn't matter how far I move to get out from under my parents' shadow. I can't help but want to make them proud. In this case, it means joining the elite sorority at Atlantic Point to impress them, especially Mom. But unlike her, I don't seem to fit in anywhere. Should we dance? Jade suggests, glancing out onto the dance floor. Most of the people dancing appear to be at least 10 years my senior, which makes sense since this club is an over 21 club, and the only reason I got in is because Sasha knows someone who knows someone. Jade, Sasha chides, please remember why we're here. She takes another delicate sip of her drink and sets it down, glaring her green eyes at her friend. No respectable man is going to want to marry a woman who shakes her ass on the dance floor. Inwardly, I sigh. Then I down my drink because as much as I'd like to be ladylike my mom taught me to be, I need the alcohol more. Sasha, of course, catches me in the act. Respectable men don't like lushes either, she scolds. Good thing I'm not looking for a respectable man then, or really any man. I think, but don't voice. The only man who has my attention is probably at home, either destroying my Minecraft house and killing all my pigs, or jacking off to gay porn, because he's gay. Yep, it would figure that the only man who really sees me and understands me swings the other way. Ma'am, the gentleman over there saw your glasses empty and ordered you another, a waitress says, handing me a new drink. Oh, Mia, it looks like you have an admirer. Jade giggles, nodding to her left. I follow her line of vision, landing on a guy leaning against the bar sipping on his whiskey. His eyes meet mine, and the corners of his lips curl into a sexy smirk. It's not smarmy like that douche Brayden, but instead, playful. Even from across the room, he exudes confidence, but it's clear he isn't cocky. He knows he's good-looking, but he isn't arrogant. He's cute, Sasha muses, envy and jealousy in her tone. Sasha's entire purpose in life, and her reason for going to college at the prestigious Atlantic Point University, one of the most elite and expensive colleges in Michigan, is to find a rich man who will take care of her, just like her daddy does. And if I'm not mistaken, wearing Ralph Lauren, she adds. It's actually Tom Ford. I notice the distinctive cut immediately, but I don't point that out. It would only raise questions I have no desire to answer. What Sasha sees is what she gets. I don't give any more than what it takes to fit in. I save the real me for Ashton. The good-looking man raises his glass, silently letting me know the ball is in my court. I raise mine back, thanking him for the drink, or... Mia, Tori hisses. You better go over there before another woman claims him. Without giving myself time to overthink this, I allow my feet to take me over to him. When I get closer, I notice his hair is dirty blonde, trimmed neatly on the sides and slightly longer on top. His eyes are a shockingly bright blue, and his watch that's peeking out from under his suit jacket is Vacheron Constantin, priced at $25,000. I know that because my mother bought one for my father after he caught her cheating on him with her co-star and she needed to smooth things over. My heart squeezes at the thought of my dad. I haven't seen him in several months, and I miss him like crazy. Thank you for the drink, I tell him, stepping into his space. I'm so out of my element here, but maybe this is just what I need. Not a husband like Sasha and her posse are looking for, but a distraction. Someone to make me stop thinking about my openly gay best friend who views me like he would his cute little sister if he weren't an only child. It's my pleasure, he purrs, his smirk shifting into a breathtakingly beautiful smile. I'm Drew. He extends his empty hand and I give him mine. I'm Mia. I tell him as he raises our hands and stands, interlocking our fingers. His grip is firm and strong, his fingers long and thick, which Makes me wonder if the saying is true about hands and feet and... Dance with me, Mia. He croons, stepping so close our bodies are flush against each other. My eyes glide up his tall frame. I'm 5'4", with a few added inches thanks to my heels, and he's a good head taller than me. His eyes dance with lust, and I find myself nodding in agreement. He reaches for my still full drink, but before he can take it, I down it in one gulp, the burn of the alcohol giving me a false sense of confidence. I set my drink on the bar top, and then he guides us to a somewhat empty part of the dance floor. His arms wrap around my waist, and he grinds his body against mine to the music. For the next couple hours, Drew and I dance and drink and laugh. We don't talk about anything of consequence, and I'm okay with that. We simply have a good time. And when we find our way to a darkened corner of the club and his mouth crashes against mine, his tongue delving between my parted lips, I push aside my need to fit in, my messed up family, and my attraction to my best friend, and allow myself to get lost in the moment, in the here and now. I stay lost in the moment when he breaks the kiss and murmurs against my lips, "I have a room upstairs." He leaves the statement hanging, but I know what he's trying to say. "Let's go," I say in response, refusing to second guess myself. He entwines his hand in mine and pulls me down the hallway and up the stairs. There's a single door at the top, and after unlocking it, we enter. It's a small room, with only a single dresser on one side, a kitchenette on the other, and a queen-sized bed in the center. "I just moved here," he says. "This is just temp." Before he can finish his sentence, I crash my mouth against his. I should probably care why he's staying here or where he came from, but I know if I don't get us back to where we were a few minutes ago, I'm going to overthink things and chicken out. His hand finds my butt and he lifts me, carrying me over to his bed. When the backs of my knees hit the side of the mattress, he sets me back down and drags the straps of my dress halfway down my arms. His eyes meet mine, silently asking for permission to continue. Instead of answering him with words, since I'm so nervous I would probably squeak, I pull my cell phone and credit card out of the top of my bra and set them on the bedside table. Then I reach behind me and, with trembling hands, unzip my dress slightly, so the straps fall the rest of the way down, exposing my lacy bra. Drew must see the way my hands are trembling, because he takes them both and brings them to his lips, softly kissing my knuckles. This act allows me to take a deep breath, telling myself I can do this. I can be with a man. It's what women my age do. They hook up, have one-night stands. After kicking off my heels, I turn around and crawl up the middle of his bed. I should probably remove my dress, but I'm not ready yet. I've never been this brazen before, and I almost question if I'm making a fool out of myself. But when I glance back and see the smoldering look in Drew's eyes, it gives me the courage to keep going. He clearly likes what he sees. I flip over onto my back and Drew is on me, spreading my thighs and kneeling between them. He palms the side of my face with his strong hand and our lips reunite, his body sinking against mine. He tastes like whiskey and bad decisions, and nothing has ever tasted better. His lips leave my own, and he trails kisses down my jawline and across my collarbone. When he gets to my breasts, he plucks them both out of their cups and wraps his warm lips around one of my hardened nipples. He sucks on it, and it feels as though an electrical current is zapping through my body, straight to my center. I had no idea it could feel this good. I lift my chest slightly, wanting him to continue and he...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?